Azurite shrines were often built on hills or crags, as close to the stars as possible, as close to Azir and its god-king as possible. Trees rose in thick, irregular rows, dominating the path and the island. I was reminded of an encroaching army, blocking off all retreat. As I observed them, I knew I was being observed in turn. "They're watching you." Deshla. I glanced at the old woman. She was sitting on a nearby jetty, carefully stripping strands from a corn husk. She chewed on a twig as she worked, her face set in an expression of placid concentration. "Who is?" "You know who." Her tone was chiding. "And not just them. You shouldn't have crossed old Fulda. He's got people following you." "Yeah." I went over and leaned against a mooring post. "I looked for you this morning. After our little talk last night, I got to thinking." "Always dangerous out here?" "Maybe. Can you take me out to the huntsman's bower?" She looked at me. "Why would I do that?" "I'm interested." "Why? Does it matter?" She snorted and went back to her work. "You don't want to go there. How about to the shrine? You'll take me over there?" I rattled my money pouch. She stopped what she was doing. "I thought you were looking for this man, not playing realm walker." "So you heard something, then?" "I didn't say that." I paused. "This is twice now you've popped up somewhere unexpected." "I live here," she grinned. "Why the worry? Think I'm following you?" Thought never crossed my mind. "What are you making?" "You know what I'm making." She held up the familiar antlered shape. "What is it?" "Something we've always made." "To celebrate?" She smiled. "In a manner of speaking?" "Local traditions," I said. The old woman nodded. I looked back at the shrine. A part of me was sad to see it reduced so. Only a small part, but it was there. The church had its militant side. A good priest needed to be able to wield a hammer as well as they preached the word of heaven. But that wasn't its only purpose. It was simply the only one I'd cared about back then. I'd been young, new to the azure, and full of righteous fire. That had passed quickly enough after my first few battles. The hammer had more weight than the sword, out in the wilds. I'd brought judgment rather than salvation. I remembered the roar of guns and the screams, the smell of blood and powder, the taste of maggoty bread. I closed my eyes, banishing the memories back into the dark. Those days, that man, they were gone. I'd traded in my hammer and robes for simpler tools, lighter burdens. It was better that way. That was what I'd told myself. The one thing the realms didn't lack for was priests, after all. The wind turned and the trees shook. Water slapped against the jetty. Out in the swamp, birds took flight. Deshla squinted. "They're singing again, trying to sing the old stag to sleep." "Why?" She shook her head. "Don't know, just stories." "I got time." She peered at me. "Do you? You seemed awfully impatient last night." That was last night. Her gaze sharpened. Something happened to you, didn't it? You might say that. And now I'm in the mood for a story. I drew my knife and began to clean the blood out from under my nails. She watched me, her expression uneasy. Tell me about the old stag. That a name for Kurnoff? Deschler made a sharp gesture. Hush! You want to draw his eye here? I shrugged. I'm sure he has better things to attend to than my lack of respect. I'm right, though, aren't I? Between what Lord Wald had implied and what the Sylvaneth had said, I was getting a picture of things. One I didn't like. She nodded. That's the story. She looked out over the water. It's said that when the Everqueen tamed the old stag, she flayed him. And out of the meat of him she pulled a single red seed. And from that seed grew Kurnoff, the huntsman. And what happened to the rest of him? She sank him in the mire, to sleep and dream red dreams forevermore. Hunter's Bower, I said. She blinked. That's what they say. How do you know? I scratched my chin. I pay attention. So there's a dead god planted in the swamp somewhere. Or not so dead, maybe, given what I'd experienced of late. Deschler nodded. That's why we make these. Helps propitiate him. Or so the old men say. Keeps Red Kern quiet. Keeps him sated and slumbering. She gestured to the town. That's the point of the celebration. Harvest and hunt. Harvest for the Everqueen, and hunt for him. She tossed me the sigil and stirred. Only now things are bad. How so? You've got eyes. You saw what I saw. You heard the stories. She stirred and shuffled to the edge of the jetty. She spat into the water. People go missing in a swamp all the time. More nowadays, though. She looked at me. Best leave it be, whatever you're thinking. Who said I'm thinking anything? I'm just making conversation. I looked back at the shrine. How long has it been like that? Since before my time. So, a long time. Deschler laughed. You think you're funny? No. At least you know that much. She stretched, old bones popping. She was hiding something. I could smell it on her. I decided to give her a prod. They say Mern tried to kill his lordship. Is that why you looked so nervous when they ran up on us? They didn't make you nervous. Not as such. You didn't hear about it? I'm not a gossip. But you're popular. I sighed. I think you know more than you admit. I think you know a lot about what goes on here. I think you know where Mern is. She fell silent. I flexed my hands, considering. And I think if I hurt you, you'd tell me what I want to know quick enough. I let that sink in. I wanted her to have a good long think on it. She swallowed. I smiled. I'm not going to, though. I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do. You hear anything, I'll pay you. And if I don't, I pushed away from the mooring post. Think I'm going to go get a drink. See you around, Deshla. Keep those ears open. I felt her eyes on me as I ambled away. Deshla was one to keep an eye on. She was old enough to trust me at my word, and to know the only way to stop me was to put a knife in me. I didn't think she would, though. Something told me things were progressing as they were meant to. I didn't think it was a sham, all this secrecy. Mern was really hiding, and his allies, his friends, didn't know who to trust. I was certain that whatever his lordship had claimed, Sepesh was probably still hunting for Mern as well. I was just another beater in the bush. But unlike her, I knew Mern. Mern liked people. He was the sort who'd draw down on anyone who threatened his kith and kin. The more threats I made, the more of a nuisance I made of myself, the more likely it was that I wouldn't have to find Mern. He'd find me. Then I'd kill him and go home. So certain, a hunter's pride. I'd expected the voice, so I wasn't startled. I didn't reply, didn't see the need. I didn't think it was a god. Gods don't talk to men like me. It could be said that we speak to no one else. I almost laughed at that, but I stopped myself. The presence, the pressure, receded. It was goading me, making me curious, making me angry. I knew it, and I couldn't help but feel both. I wanted to know what it was, why it was shadowing me, hunting me. And then I wanted to put my knife in whatever passed for its heart. My head full of red thoughts, I made my way back to the Stag's Head. The harvest celebrations seemed more sedate today, and I didn't see as many people out on the streets as the day wore down to dark. Plenty of dead meat, though, hanging from roof-edge hooks or piled bleeding in carts. Flies gathered in black clouds, something in their buzzing reminding me of those terrible hoofbeats from the night before. And the sigils, too, of course. More of them every time I looked. Hanging from every door and in every window. Antlered faces staring out at the red, red world the people of Wald had made. Blood slopped in the gutters and dripped into barrels. Children sharpened knives on grindstones, so as to better carve up the street curs and alley strays they'd caught the previous night. I saw masks, too, masks with twists of bramble for manes, and carved scraps of wood for antlers. Men and women clapped and sang songs. Not the ribald tunes I'd heard when we arrived, but something slower and statelier. An imploration rather than a celebration. Sometimes the masks turned to watch me as I passed by, and I thought of Deshla's warning. Let them follow me. Let them eavesdrop and spy. I'd deal with them if I had to. And otherwise, what did it matter? Even so, I felt a stirring in my gut as I reached the tavern. Not hunger, but something else. A feeling that was all too familiar. I'd had it once before, and long ago. And now I was having it again. A twinge of unease. Something was happening. Out of sight and in silent places. But this time I wasn't fool enough to go looking for it. That's what I told myself, repeated it to myself, like a mantra. I was only here for Mern. nothing else. The common room was crowded again. Apparently the Stag's Head was popular, or maybe it was the only real tavern in town. Gint was sitting at our table when I arrived. He was raking in a pile of motes as angry fishermen rose, scowling and cursing under their breaths. "Thank you for the game, gentle sirs, and all these lovely motes as well," he called out. He tossed two to the serving girl as she set a drink down at his elbow. "Bring one for my friend as well," he said. "He looks like he could do with it." Feeling generous, I grabbed a chair and sat. "I'm a rich man by local standards. Pretty soon I expect his lordship to come and ask for a loan." He swept the motes into a pouch and stuffed it into his shirt. "Remind me to pay you back for the room. You could get your own." "I asked. None to be had, I'm afraid. Besides, two sleep safer than one, especially around here." He leaned forward. "I am not convinced by the local hospitality." I looked around. Gazes were hastily averted. "No, does seem to be precious little of it. Find anything out?" "About your bower, you mean?" He shuffled his cards. "Nothing much. It's a spot somewhere in the swamp. No one goes there except when they do."
"And when do they?"
"When a shipment comes in." I reached over and stopped his shuffling.
"Shipment of what?"
He grinned. "People." I sat back as my drink arrived.
"People."
"Prisoners. Prison barges." He laid out a hand of cards, clucked his tongue, and began to reshuffle them. "Remember, I mentioned them. So did Deschler."
"So you did."
I didn't ask him to elaborate. Outside, the rain continued to fall. Someone stoked the fire pit. I stared at it, listening to the crackle of burning wood. I closed my eyes. When I opened them, I felt stiff, and my mouth tasted sour. The fire was low and red. It was still raining outside, but the common room was almost empty now. I realized with some surprise that I'd fallen asleep. Gint still sat across from me, his gaze speculative. "Tired?"
"I don't know what you mean."
I sat up and stretched. Things popped and clicked in unsettling ways, and I couldn't help but grunt in pain.
"How long?"
"An hour or two. It's getting dark." He reached for his cup. He cut his eyes towards the door.
"Well, there's a familiar face."
I glanced back. The pickpocket I'd nearly drowned the day before stood dithering in the entrance. He craned his neck as if looking for someone. When he saw me, he approached, looking nervous.
"Come for another bath?" I said.
He swallowed.
"Pender. Pender said I was to tell you that someone wants to speak to you."
He retreated as I rose to my feet.
That was quick.
I took a long pull from my drink and set it down.
"Lead the way."
Chapter 16. Road Agent. The little pickpocket led me down a maze of side streets and back alleys. We found ourselves in sight of the Palisades as the grey of the day turned black. I could hear the guards shouting to one another as a queue of vessels sailed through the gates. Swamp birds perched on the rooftops overhead, squawking raucously as they settled in for the night.
"This way,"
my guide said. He stank of fear. His eyes darted around. I wondered whether he was scared of me or something else. We stopped several times to let guards amble past. The glow of their lanterns washed across the walls, casting long shadows. More of them than I remember, I said.
They're stepping up patrols. Something has them nervous.
The pickpocket muttered. Any idea what? He frowned.
Same as always. Treakin' are agitated. They always get pernickety during harvest time. Snatch babies from their cribs. Creep along the rooftops. Kill animals. Snatch people from the road.
No wonder you look nervous.
I'm not nervous. I'm scared shitless.
He glanced at me and licked his lips.
You really work for Caspar Gunnow?
If I didn't, I'd be a fool to claim otherwise. He gave a sickly grin.
That's the God's own truth.
He ducked down a side street.
This way. Is it true he once had a fellow split open, filled with hot coals and sewn back up?
Yes. I knew, because I'd helped toss the body afterwards. The victim had been a murderer, a cannibal. He'd eaten the wrong person, and Gunnow had lost a lot of money. The pickpocket shuddered.
Did he really have a stormcast killed? One of the God King's chosen warriors?
I hesitated. That was the sort of question it was dangerous to answer. He did.
How?
They always asked that. I gave the same answer I always did. We got lucky. The pickpocket's eyes bulged.
You did it.
I was there. I remembered the look on his face, the way his eyes blazed like cage lightning, as we dragged him down with weighted nets. It had been the only way. Then the spears and the hooks, Dwarden forged. Gromril tipped. Even then, it had taken too long. I remembered the way Gunnow had clapped me on the back, the way I'd almost turned and spilled his fat guts on the street, right beside the scorch marks where the lightning had struck. Mostly, though, I remembered the look on that stormcast's face. The look in those awful, burning eyes. The look that said he'd remember me. The pickpocket hesitated.
Are they as glorious as the stories say?
No. Yes. I paused. They're not human.
That's obvious,
he said, with a nervous laugh. That's not what I meant. They're not human. They're hollow, but full. Like jugs filled with naphtha. Break one and the world burns. I frowned, trying to articulate what I meant. It was hard, even now. You can smell it on them, in their sweat, hear it in their voices. A storm compacted into a ball and buried. But it is always fighting to free itself. They bleed lightning. They sweat rain. Their voices are like thunder. They are not human. The pickpocket shook his head.
They sound beautiful.
He sounded wistful. They aren't. The ones I knew were ugly as sin, for all their features were perfect. I gestured to my face. Too perfect, even with the scars. You can't look at them for long without seeing it, even the women.
Women?
He looked horrified.
Some of them are women.
They're not human, I said again. Stop talking about it. He gulped and nodded, as another guard patrol sent us sidling into an alleyway. These were heading somewhere in a hurry. I watched them go, wondering who or what had drawn their attentions. We were still within sight of the palisades. I looked at my guide. If the guards have increased patrols, is it wise to be meeting here under their noses? The pickpocket nodded jerkily.
Pender has it covered. He always does. Takes good care of us, does Pender.
I bet. Wald doesn't strike me as big enough for a man like Pender. I looked at my guide, noticed the hint of a tattoo poking out of one ratty sleeve. You were in Ironhole? He stopped, face pale.
What?
I grabbed his arm and bent it up. Ironhole, the prison. You came here on a barge, then? Seems like a lot of you have. He snatched his arm back.
What business is it of yours?
Just getting the lie of the land. I tapped the pommel of my knife. Watch your tone, if you would. You might hurt my feelings otherwise.
I came on a barge, he said sulkily. So did Pender.
And how'd you manage to escape? He fell silent. I considered forcing the issue, but decided against it. It wasn't important. A moment later, I had a whole new concern. A guard was striding towards us, truncheon in one hand, lantern in the other. I stepped behind the pickpocket and reached for my knife. The pickpocket realized my intent and gestured frantically.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
About time, the guard said. He glanced at me, and his eyes narrowed. I know you. I know you, too. We'd met the previous evening. He looked me up and down. You ever find the stag's head? Right where you said it would be. You find what I'm looking for? Why do you think I'm here? He gestured. Pender's waiting. I didn't move. You work for Pender. He grinned. His lordship can be a mite stingy with wages. I'm getting the feeling that he's not the most popular of potentates. I looked him up and down. How many of you work for Pender, then? His smile faded. He slapped the back of his hand against my chest, lightly. Be quick. I can't pretend to patrol over here all afternoon. Buell's already on my back. Buell, I said. Small town. I let the pickpocket lead me away. Pender was waiting for us at the mouth of an alley leading to the quays. He stood with his back to the water, wearing heavy furs against the chill of the evening. He nodded to me and gestured. Be off with you, scoper. Go find some pockets to rifle through. The pickpocket darted away, leaving us alone. Pender scrubbed his jowls and looked at me. I did what you asked. You found man. I found someone who knows where he might be at a certain time. If you so happen to be there at that time, he smiled, pleased with himself. I considered hitting him just to keep him on his toes, but decided against it. As long as he was doing what I wanted, there was no need to bloody him. I get the picture. I ran my hand over my head. My hair hadn't been dry in days. I would be glad when this was done. I planned on sitting in front of a fire and letting the chill bake out of my bones. You work quick. Sooner I get you what you want, the sooner you leave. Hard to argue with that logic. Who is it? I look like I care about someone's name. He frowned. She was trying to get out of town on a fishing barge. My boys caught her just before they left. She nearly put a knife in one of them.
He leaned over and spat into the water.
She's scared. Never known an elf to be scared.
I almost laughed. After all, how many elves could there be in a town like this? The road agent. He raised an eyebrow.
You know her.
We've met. Where is she?
Just at the end of the quay there. I told her I'd get her on a skiff. First thing in the morning. Only way she agreed to put her knife up.
He rubbed his face again.
If this pays off, how much gratitude can I expect, do you think?
Depends on what happens after I find Mern. Penda frowned.
That sounds vague.
It does, doesn't it? I paused. You work quick, though. That's a point in your favour. Gunnar might have a use for a fellow who accomplishes his tasks so quickly. Penda licked his lips.
Yeah?
I shrugged. There's always an opening or two. I started down the quay. The evening was still. A murk rose from the dark water, hanging over everything. It muffled the sounds of the town and the swamp, making me feel as if my head were wrapped in cotton. There was a smell as well, thick and sour, like wood pulp left in the rain. The other islands were indistinct masses, the trees but vague towers piercing the gloom. She was standing at the end of the quay, staring at the skiffs moored in the waters below. Her fingers played with the hilt of her knife, and I knew she was thinking about cutting a rope and stealing a boat and going somewhere. She had a bottle in her hand, local rotgut by the smell. Hello, she turned.
You?
She didn't sound surprised. She swayed slightly. Me? I told you I'd speak to you again.
So you did.
She turned back to the water.
What do you want?
I pulled the coin, Mern's coin, out of my pocket and held it up so she could see. Word has it you know where Evrek Mern is.
Do I?
She lifted the bottle and took a long pull. Are you drunk? I was getting impatient.
Wouldn't you be?
She had me there. I forced myself to relax. Even drunk, she was probably faster than me. I'd got a taste of it in her office. I wasn't looking for a second go-round. We weren't properly introduced last time. What's your name? She took a drink and stared at me. I shrugged. Fine. My name's Haran. I'm looking for Evrek Mern. He sent me this coin. I want to know how it came to you. She was silent for a time. Then,
I saw this place before it flooded, you know.
I stuffed the coin back in my pocket. That's not what I asked.
It wasn't much prettier, but it was good enough. The air smelled like sawdust.
She frowned.
Never liked that smell.
She took another drink.
You humans, if you're not cutting up trees, you're cracking rocks and bending rivers out of shape.
An old catechism rose unbidden to my lips. The realms are Sigmar's gift to man, I said. His to oversee and whose bounty to best enjoy. She looked at me like I'd passed wind in the boudoir.
Sigma, she said, and I recognized the tone. I'd spoken his name with the same venom myself, before it had all drained away. These lands are not his to give. These swamps, these forests, they do not belong to him or to you.
No, they don't. But we're here. I looked around. Mostly. She smirked.
For now.
Anyway, what do I care about forests? I'm only after one thing. She looked away.
I remember when all this was dry. It was forest then, an old forest, tangled and black. The sort of forest where those who aren't born there aren't welcome, even elves.
Forest or swamp, still doesn't matter. Tell me about man.
I liked him. He could talk, you know.
She shook her head.
Talk about something other than eels or hunting. About cities, about other realms.
She took a drink.
Shame he was married.
Married? She smiled in a dreamy way.
Kersha, she said softly. That was her name.
Was. Her smile faded.
Dead now. Sickness. Swamp chill. Got into her bones. Turned her blood to water. Happens a lot out here.
She paused.
She died, and then their girl.
A child, I said. I could hear the disbelief in my voice. Mern with a child. I shook my head. He had a daughter.
Little baby girl, she said. They used to throw babies in the water here.
Her words were slightly slurred now.
Every harvest moon, in they'd go. One baby, two baby, three baby, four.
She took another swig and offered me the bottle. I accepted it and took a swig. I nearly spat it out. It tasted like vinegar and chilies.
Used to, I said. Not any more.
She shook her head.
Not any more.
She leaned against the mooring post.
I did it.
Did what?
Sent the coin.
I paused, the bottle halfway to my lips. As I considered her words, I took a slow sip. I passed the bottle back to her.
Why? Mern asked me to.
Where is he? She took a long slug from the bottle and sent it sailing out over the water.
I don't know, she said. Have you checked his farm?
Farm? She snorted.
Of course, he goes there to hide sometimes. They've already searched it, so they don't pay it any attention.
She looked down at her hens.
We used to worship her too, you know. The Ever Queen.
She curled her fingers as if gripping a sword.
Only we turned from her, and she cast us out.
She glared at the trees rising from the shallows.
She made the trees hate us. And then she turned from them, too.
She looked at me.
And some of them started to hate her, the way she hated us, all mixed with love.
She dropped her head and was silent for long moments. I thought she was asleep until she said,
They found new gods then, older gods, and bloodier by far.
Gods like Kernoth. She gestured frantically.
You're mad. Don't say that name, unless you want his hounds to catch your scent.
You're the second person to do that to me today, I said in annoyance. She looked around, visibly nervous.
They're always listening. This place was his, long before it was hers.
She stopped, head tilted as if listening to something. I knew elves had better hearing than most, and my hand dropped to my knife. She swallowed convulsively and stepped back from the water.
I have to go.
Wait, what about this farm? Where is it? I reached for her, but she twisted away, a feral expression on her face.
I've already said too much.
She turned and began to hurry away.
Tell Mern we're even. Tell him I don't want to hear from him again.
As she vanished into the mists curling along the quay, I heard something splash far out in the dark under the trees. When I turned in that direction, I saw only a hint of movement. A tree, I thought. Just a tree swaying in the wind. But what tree has antlers?
Chapter 17. The Farm. My dreams were ugly and full of red. I dreamed of a woman so beautiful it hurt, and she was cutting me open, slicing and slicing with knives of green as I struggled against chains of brambles and bark. She murmured to me as she flensed the meat from my bones, whispering words of endearment and longing as she stripped me to pieces.
This is a kindness, she said. It is a kindness I do you. It is for love I harness you and goad you. It is for love I make this pain.
I heard her words, and I wanted to believe, but I saw the ugliness beneath her pretty face. A longing no less needful than my own, a hunger no less consuming. And so I struggled and fought, as all around me her children tittered and pulled the cutting chains taut. And she cut, and cut, and cut. I was almost grateful when the grey light of day crept through the window and woke me. I rolled over, stiff and hurting. Gint was nowhere to be seen, but there was another antler sigil on the table. I tossed it out the window, dressed as quickly as I could manage, and made my way downstairs. The common room was all but deserted, and the fire pit was nothing but ashes. Gint sat near the Trogoth pit, a bowl of oats and mash in front of him. "They left us another gift in the night," he said as I sat. "I know," I tossed it. He looked startled. "Was that wise?" He pushed his bowl towards me. He hadn't eaten much, and I tucked in with gusto. "I don't particularly care," I said. "How'd they get in?" "I wish I knew. At least they didn't steal anything." He looked over at the Trogoth pit. "They took the poor beast out last night. Gods know where. It was a Trogoth. I heard it whining when they hauled it out. Like a gerwolf pup, or a child." He looked at me, his face drawn. "Even a Trogoth doesn't deserve that." I had no answer for that. Gint continued to surprise me. I pushed the empty bowl aside and sat back. He set his cards on the table and tapped the deck. "So, what did you learn last night?" he said. "Nothing of interest?" "I doubt that." He leaned forward. Give me some credit, Haran. I'm not stupid. So what did you learn? I studied him for a moment. I wondered whether it was simple curiosity that had provoked his question, or something else. I decided to play along. Mern was married. Explains why he stayed. He had a child. Had? Dead, apparently. He looked at me. Not a flicker of sympathy, is there? What? Nothing in your eyes, not even pity. Mern tried to kill me once. Gint looked at his cards. Maybe he had a good reason. I thought about it a moment. He did. Doesn't mean I forgive him. I took a card off the top of his deck and set it down face up. Why do you care, Gint? You don't know him. I don't have to know him to feel bad for him. He set a card down beside me. You're here to kill him, aren't you? Figured that out all by yourself? Why? He tried to kill me. I paused. Among other reasons. That's my business, though. I set another card down. What I can't figure is why any of this matters to you. I told you, you saved my life. For better or worse, we're bound together. I looked down at the cards. I'm not good at card games. This a good hand? He shook his head. It's not finished yet. He looked up, eyes narrowing. I realized that everything had gone quiet. I turned and saw Sepesh standing in the doorway, her cloak running with rainwater. She spotted me and grinned. Two guards followed her inside and took up positions to either side of the door. A soft murmur ran through the common room, but no one protested the implied threat. Sepesh ambled towards me and took a seat. I understand you had some trouble. I gave her a wary look. Who says? A little eel told me. She leaned back. We found a body floating in the swamp. Somebody had done a bad job of weighing it down. She gestured across her stomach. Someone else had cut him open. Maybe it was self-defense. She nodded. I could see where that might be the case. He was a known troublemaker. A barge escapee. She sat up. We have a lot of those, hiding in the swamp, living on the margins. Cost of doing business, I suppose. I wouldn't know. The same little eel told me that you were seen hanging around the palisades last night, talking to some unsavory sorts. Care to explain that? His lordship gave me a task. I am merely seeing it out. She snorted. Yeah, I bet. And I'm here on his behalf to ask for a report. So, report. What did you find? I considered not saying anything, but only for a moment. Sepesh was here as a reminder that Lord Wald wanted to know where Mern was as badly as I did. There's a farm, I said. Mern owned it. She gave a dismissive wave. We already searched the farm. He's not there. You might have missed something. She frowned. Like what? I shrugged. I've known Mern a long time. I might see something you didn't. I doubted that, but it sounded good. And it was a bone to toss my new patron. Plus, if Mern did show up, it was all to the good. She grunted and ran a hand through her hair. Maybe, she looked at me. But I'm not letting you go out there alone. Don't you trust me? She laughed. Not a bit. I nodded. Probably wise. How'd you know about the farm? A little eel told me. She smiled widely. Have it your way. She pushed her chair back and rose. My coach is outside. The rain's picking up. Better to ride than walk. You brought the coach. I'm the sheriff. I don't walk. I looked at Gint. Try not to cheat anyone today. No promises, he said. I felt his eyes on me as we left. Your friend is a weaselly sort, Sepesh said as we stepped out into the rain. He's not my friend, I said. More like a stray. I pulled my hood up. Where's the farm? Outskirts of the village, just south of the manor. Lots of dry land there, with good black soil, where the waters have receded over the years. Buell wasn't driving the coach this time. I recognized Pender's pet guard. He nodded to me amiably, without giving any sign of recognition. I reckoned I knew how Sepesh had found out about my meeting. I looked at her, and she gave me a knowing smile. Pender thinks he's clever, but he's only got as much rope as I give him. You let him operate in town. She shrugged. There's always somebody. Better I know who he is. She climbed aboard the coach, and I followed. Besides, Pender makes things entertaining. I get so bored out here. Does he know? She laughed. Gods, no. If he did, he'd scarper quick. Pender's not the sort of man who fights a losing battle. You ever think Mern might be hiding with him? She frowned. I'd considered it. But it didn't seem like the sort of thing Mern would do. Then, as you said, I don't know him as well as you. She thumped on the roof, and the coach lurched into motion. How do you know him, anyway? We're casual acquaintances. Doesn't sound like it. From the way she said it, I could tell she wasn't going to let it go. She drew a poniard from a sheath on her belt and began to clean her fingernails. How do you know him? I countered. She smirked. He's a troublemaker. Local rabble-rouser, though not as bad as that old bastard Fulda. You've met him, I think. I've had that pleasure, yes. I hadn't seen Fulda since the night I'd thumped his friends. I guessed he decided to stay out of my way after that. Who is he, by the way? He's sort of the town father, you might say. The hetman. She nodded. Fulda likes to think he's in charge, when his lordship is otherwise occupied with affairs of state. We let him because he's diligent when it comes to keeping the peasants in line. Except for Mern. Except Mern. You didn't answer my question. Yes, how rude of me. I looked out the window. The coach rattled along a winding, marshy path through a corridor of close-set trees, passing farms and fishing shacks. The path was a berm of dirt, reinforced with pitch-soaked timbers and piled stones. I knew it must take constant effort to keep it from collapsing entirely. Who keeps these paths from crumbling? I asked. I never see anyone working. Harvest celebration. No one's working. And when there's no celebration, we use prisoners, mostly. Slave labor, you mean? I thought of what I'd heard about the barges. Was this what they were being used for, then? Prison labor wasn't unheard of. Greywater Fastness practically ran on it, though no one in their right mind admitted it. Perish the thought. Slavery is illegal under Azerite law. More than one type of slavery. How many impoverished pilgrims and would-be colonists found themselves indentured to old masters in new realms? Too many to count. As many as there were stars in the sky. True, she said, grinning. How many slaves did it take to build Hemahal? 10 million? She continued, without waiting for me to reply. 10 million slaves, toiling day and night for almost 100 years. I wanted to argue, but all I said was, You counted. Someone did. Good for them. What does that have to do with me? Not a blessed thing. Someone's got to do the work. Better them than you, I said. Exactly. She looked at me. Answer my question. How do you know man? We served together. What regiment? Gold Griffins. She raised an eyebrow. The regiment out of Vindicarum. Hammerhal Aksha, I said. 10th cohort. They get around. A standard in every city, a comet in every purse, I recited. What about you? What makes you think I was a soldier? I looked her up and down. The way you've got your sword belted on. The boots you're wearing. Hammerhal issue, those. Maybe I stole them. Maybe. I doubt Lord Wold would make a thief his sheriff. Maybe, she paused. Faithful blades out of Hemahal Gyra. Surprised we never ran across one another. I'm not. Hemahal is a big place. I looked out the window. The sky was only a thin sliver between the trees. But the rain fell steadily. True enough, I prefer it out here. I nodded. Quieter. Too quiet, especially of late. I heard you were having trouble with the Sylvaneth. Is that usual? And where'd you hear that? Another eel? I like to know what's going on. I watched the swamp. The further we drew from the main sprawl of the village, the more rustic things became. The path was dotted with moss lanterns, hanging from iron poles thrust into the sodden earth or into the shattered remnants of league markers. A faint green radiance held back the murk, but only just. Behind that radiance, something moved. Stick-thin shapes that stretched and swayed from one copse to the next, in some fashion that I could only barely perceive. Sepesh followed my gaze. They never come any closer than that, if you're worried. She was wrong, but I didn't correct her. You saw them? Hard not to, once you know what to look for. She scratched her chin. Folk around here think they caused the flood. That it was a punishment from the Lady of Leaves for their hubris. I could believe it. This far from the village, the swamp took on a pestilential aspect. The trees looked bloated, stretching long, crooked boughs over the rooftops of the few shacks. The water lapped at the edges of the path, washing over in places. Out in the murk, I saw the shapes of sunken buildings and tumbled stones. I wondered what it had looked like before the floods, before it had all gone sour. Would it have become a small city in time, like Headwater Breach, or remained a way station between metropolises? All that potential was lost now, drowned and buried. I looked at her. What do you think? I think that if that's the case, she didn't do a very good job. They're still a prideful bunch for a lot of eel-grubbing peasants. She twisted her poniard with easy skill. The coach juddered as it ran over a fallen league marker, and I heard the driver curse loudly and profanely. That includes Mern, I guess. He's the worst of the bunch, And why is that? I thought you knew him. He might have changed a bit since we last spoke. Humor me. She eyed me. Used to be thick as thieves with Fulder and his bunch. She smirked. Now he's got no friends at all. Must have some. She nodded. Must have some. No clue who, though. She peered at me. Sure you're not one of them? Maybe come to pull his fat out of the fire? I want him dead more than you do. For your sake, I hope so. She leaned forward and craned her neck, peering out of the coach. Here we are. The coach slowed and finally trundled to a stop with a splash. The horses were restive, causing the conveyance to creak as we climbed down. The farmhouse was a squat, single-story building, encircled by a low wall of piled stones. A larger structure that I took to be a barn or stone house was visible off to the side, within the boundary of the wall. The farm sat atop the apex of a crumbling slope, and behind it the swamp spread out like an encroaching army. Only a few of the outlying farms survived the original flood, Sepesh said. Those that were on higher ground than the others. She gestured disinterestedly. Most of them are off that way. The swamp has grown up around them. They're like little islands now. This is the only one you can reach on foot, and even that's dicey most days. The locals think it's a sign that the Lady of Leaves favored the family. That includes our friend Mern, now. How so? The old-fashioned way. He married into it, Sepesh said. She looked the place over, her hand resting on her sword. Way I hear it, it surprised everyone. Especially Fulder. Why is that? Kersha was his niece. She was meant to marry someone the old man favored. Instead, she married some outsider and popped out a brat. I was only half listening. Bring a lantern, I said, as I started towards the door. The farm looked dead. Less